Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How are you?
How's everyone doing?
You all look so pretty.
It's probably the lights.
These aren't doing us any better. A face for podcasting.
Hello and welcome to Fat Chat, the podcast that represents. Thank you guys.
This is our very first live show. Hopefully the first of many.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see at the end. It's too soon to say,
so,
Hayley.
And this is being recorded live in the lovely Boulevard Theatre in Soho in London. So shout out to everybody listening at home. Hi.
This week, as you may have guessed, we're going to be talking about why representation matters in the media.
I'm Hayley from Curves and Curls, and I'm currently representing the sweaty and slightly terrified.
I feel represented already. I'm George from Fuller Figure, Fuller Bust, and I am really nervous, so I may swear even fucking more than usual. And also, I fell over earlier because I was just in a bit of a fluster, which she finds funny. Yeah, so I'm a bit, so bear with me.
Hi, I'm Rifki from Slink Magazine. And I'm just really happy we're finally recording somewhere that has a bar. Hey. Okay, people had a drink.
Don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We are at Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So why would you both say that representation matters?
I think when we're growing up, if we have good representation, that's how we know we fit into society, because that's all people really want. We want to see some kind of reflection of ourselves so that we know that we're not alone, so that there are other people that are a bit like us that we can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think I saw something from Navabi, which is a plus size brand, the other day, and they said, you've got to see it to be it. And sometimes if you don't see things, or if you see the same representation over and over, you think that certain things aren't possible for you. So like, regardless of what you might think of Barack Obama or Theresa May's politics, just them being in those jobs when other people hadn't before is a huge thing, because it shows young people that they could do that maybe one day if they look like that, which we didn't really see before. That's the same in the media with everything, because people kind of need to see themselves and not the stereotyped version of themselves, but all the varied ways we can live as plus size people or as people of color or as anything really, as LGBT people, we live in lots of different ways. So representation, all types of representation is important because we're all so different.
For me, I mean, we're all around the same age. So for all of us, when we were growing up, the only representation I saw and my sort of thing that was an outsider trait was the fact that I was bigger, was in those magazines, those circles of shame, those before and after photos. So representation,
always the before photo.
Always the before, no. Yeah. Always in that little circle of shame, there was something I identified with. So representation matters, but the right kind. We need to step away from stereotyping bodies and how bodies look, and we need to make sure that people know that that body type is okay, and there needs to be basically more and better representation.
And the idea that the way people are represented in the media teaches other people how to treat you. So if whenever you see a fat person in a movie, they're laughed at, we become inherently just the butt of a joke.
Please do laugh at us, though. Yeah. This is the one time.
Well, that guy back there is going to have to put a lot of laugh track in afterwards. So. Fake news, people, fake news. Yeah, like it teaches people how to treat you, because they see how it's acceptable to treat people. And that's kind of what they go with. So how do you remember plus size women being portrayed sort of as you were growing up?
I think for me, when I was growing up, I really wanted to be an actress. And I went to loads of drama classes and I did loads of plays. And I was it was something that I felt that I was good at. But the problem was, I looked around, there weren't any fat actresses. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, well, this seems like a terrible job idea. The other thing I wanted to be was an archaeologist, and I thought everything would be discovered by the time I grew up. So I was like, I can't be an archaeologist, and I can't go into drama because there aren't any parts for fat actresses. And probably the only person that I felt I related to growing up was Sonia from EastEnders. Who here remembers Sonia?
Yeah.
This we were talking about this earlier. There's a gap in my British history.
Shame.
Which is from like the age of like 7 to 25 when I moved back. And most things didn't make it over the ocean. Like Mr. Blobby, for example, the rest of the world doesn't understand that. And so Sonia, I was like, tell me about Sonia.
So for those of you, unfortunately, like Hayley, who did not get to live through the joy that was Sonia from EastEnders.
To the back row, especially.
Sonia was, she was a bit tragic, but...
but a hard relate.
but a hard relate. I really wanted to play the trumpet as well, purely because of Sonia. But she got the boy, didn't she? She went out with Jamie and he was in like Heat magazine every week.
Torso of the week.
Yeah, like super hot, blonde curtains, child of the 90s.
Hair, yeah.
You know, like boy band looks. But that was like the only relate, and she was still pretty tragic.
I think like British TV does it so well though, that we have these kind of tragic, dumpy characters. But also there are some like really great characters. Like think of My Mad Fat Diary. Obviously that's not, you know, that's more current, but that is amazing. And then
Ray, the main character from My Mad Fat Diary.
Yeah. And
plus size, she has the hottest boyfriend ever. She's riddled with issues. I really relate to her. Except for the boyfriend.
Then we've got like the Vicar of Dibley. I mean, how much D did she get?
She got like, JC and D.
Oh, we're so
nailed more times than Jesus.
Oh, we're so gonna need to edit this podcast.
You have no idea how much ends up on the cutting room floor.
Mainly things from George that are too rude to publish.
Thank you.
Robbie doesn't even look shocked. What the fuck?
I feel that's because when George listens to it back, she's like, hang on a second, where were all those funny rude jokes I made?
And I make Robbie sit and listen while I tell them again. But then, like, ultimate babe, Nessa. Am I right?
Gavin
and Stacey Nessa. She's just fat and owns it and shags about and everyone fancies her. And she's the storyline doesn't revolve around her weight, but obviously points to her weight, which is kind of true life.
And that's a fat character written by a fat woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't speak for Ruth Jones, but I can't help but think she's writing the character that she always wanted to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she was like, this is the antidote to every shitty fat representation. And we will come on to them. I have a lot of strong feelings about
these. She's very angry, please be aware.
My favourite character, just because I relate, and I've said this in a podcast recently, is Miranda Hart. She falls over a lot, talks to her camera a lot, and she as well gets the guy, lives a fairly normal life, has friends, has weird relationships with her mum. Like, who can relate to that? Sorry, Hayley.
I'm Hayley's mum.
But, you know, those kind of characters, when you look back, you think, okay, there were a few. Like, British TV kind of has it going on a bit.
Yeah, and we often hear, like, from our American listeners and stuff like that, they're like, you know, you're talking about Sonia from EastEnders. In South Africa, we grew up with American soap operas. So they are all shot through like a lens covered in Vaseline. Everybody was contoured to fuck.
And like the 25-year-olds are playing, firstly, school children and their mums. Everyone is 25. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
So I think sometimes we forget that actually there's a lot of, in inverted commas, real people on British television, which it's not happening everywhere.
Hayley, you were talking earlier about the sort of representation that you had, and obviously you had the sort of negative thing of having all those American soap operas, but was there anything that actually was pretty good?
I didn't have Sonia, so
you didn't have
a
huge
Sonia. Drawback.
I'm gonna dig out some videos for you.
I mean, I remember I would have been in like my sort of mid to late teens when Dove started doing those campaigns where everyone was in like
who remembers
white
them?
Pants and a vest. And, like, it was a big moment because it was, like, all different sorts of women. It wasn't all the sorts of women. But I remember, like, all the women that they usually used, there was, like, women of different colours and different shapes and sizes. But I remember, like, looking at this lineup of women and being like, they still don't represent me. The biggest woman in this lineup is a size 12, and that's a huge deal. And I'm not taking it away from how, like, groundbreaking that was, but I still wasn't represented. They'd showed me, look at all the shapes and sizes, look at all the colours of the rainbow, you're still not there. You're still such an outlying freak that we didn't put you in the Dove ad. And it doesn't, you know, it you brush it off, it's fine, but it does tell you that there are certain bodies that are and aren't acceptable. And we've come a long way since then, but I remember as a teenager being like, this is a big moment, and being excited by it, but also it telling me that my body wasn't okay because it still wasn't included in that lineup of people.
And this is something for the people listening. We're going to be putting sort of these examples on our Instagram. And if you guys as well who are here today want to go over and comment on our Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Fat Chat Pod. And we're going to ask you guys, who was your fat representation? Who do you remember? People from films and TV shows as well.
So, yeah. I mean, brace yourself because Hayley is pretty angry about this.
Oh, Lord, I've just seen what it is.
Obviously, we've talked a little bit about the representations that we liked and sort of stepped forward. But Hayley, I'm going to kick off with you. What about the representations that you loathed? Why were they so damaging?
My number one worst was Fat Monica.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Bitches, no. Fat Monica. Friends was my favourite TV programme growing up. And yet I had to brace myself for every wobbly fucking episode of Fat Monica where they would wheel her out because they'd run out of good jokes, or roll her out, I guess, in her fat suit with all her double chins, you know, troughing chocolate and just making really shit jokes. And all of those jokes centered around the fact that she was completely undesirable and unlovable and, you know, and had to change. And she did. She did change. She conformed to the beauty standards. She became slim. She got Chandler. I mean, it's better than Ross, but he's a brother, so she can't marry him.
That would have been even too weird.
Yeah. Ross is a dick. And I know there was an episode where they went back in time. Imagine if she'd stayed fat and her and Chandler still ended up together. But it was all just these really obvious, sad, silly jokes. And I was like, this is the only representation I'm seeing on mainstream television of a plus-size woman. And it's a skinny woman in a fat suit for lols. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. And there was a long time when that was what was going on. Around about the same period, Shallow Hell came out.
Shallow Hell is right. Yeah, you got it hell. Right.
That's just my accent. What a piece of shit. Jack Black falls in love with Gwyneth Paltrow because he doesn't realize she's fat. Because
yeah.
I've only seen the trailer and I'm enraged. I never watched it. It's just such a shit concept. Honestly, like, what a stupid, shit, pathetic concept. And it was very much this idea that, like, Jack Black, who's not your traditional good-looking lead man, why would he stoop to be with a fat woman unless he'd been tricked by magic into thinking she was thin? What?
And also that...
It's just ridiculous there.
We told you, she's pretty angry.
Yeah, this is a whole episode. We're going to do this episode Monday.
It's just also that her beauty was portrayed by a thin woman. Like, there was no other way that her inner beauty could be portrayed. That's the way it is. And that was horrific. You haven't seen it, so you're like...
No, yeah, I'm cross.
Yeah.
What about you, George? Let's move on from my issue.
I have to say, the one, like, book that came film that I remember vividly that kind of messed me up was Bridget Jones. So I think I was about, yeah, that's it. Amen. Thank you, guys. I would have been 13, 14 when it came out. I remember not being quite old enough to watch the DVD. So racy. And I also read the book. And in the book, like, we even had to look this up earlier.
Yeah.
She moans that she's like 9'2". These guys were like, no, she must... Listen, see? That's one of these.
Yeah.
Like, we had to look it up.
I'm fat. Like,
which is Bridget. Mental because I was telling these girls earlier, when I first went to Weight Watchers, that was supposed to be my goal weight.
Mm.
So that was the weight I was supposed to end up at. But for her, that was like a... That
she
was the most
it.
Hideous weight.
And she, like, you guys thought she was 12 stone. Like, for some reason, it so stuck with me
like,
that she was
can't
9.
Be right.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, you're going to need to Google that, George, because I think you're exaggerating something you never do.
And I was right.
And she was right
for a
something
change.
That never happens.
But yeah, I remember I was about 13 stone at that age. And like, I've looked back at photos and I was pretty average size, like a lot smaller than I am now. And I remember just being like, wow, God, I need to drop more than 4 stone to even be happy. Like this woman who then when the film came out, I was like, she's got like really weird dysfunctional relationships. She's portrayed as not being that great. She's portrayed as not being like worthy of love. And not only that, like,
yeah,
Renee Zellweger.
Come on.
Renee Zellweger had to gain weight, moan about it and put on a crap British accent. And that's what we got. Like, please. And like have these ruddy cheeks and like just be, why couldn't she just be like a sexy character who owned it? For some reason, that was my worst.
And that was the thing is that was part of her story. And I get it. There are lots of women that feel like that.
Oh, yeah.
But she was portrayed as the representation for plus size women. She wasn't plus. she wasn't actually living her life in an overweight body.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that, yeah, that, like, for me, fucked me up. But another one who annoyed me.
This is such a great segment, guys.
Cartoon, but I still took it badly. Family Guy. Peter Griffin, he's fat. Like, sure, they make a few jokes, but he's fat. He's got a hot wife, and that's fine. That's acceptable. There's no, like, he needs to change and transform. It's no, oh, wow, how crazy that this fat guy has, like, a slim, good-looking wife. For me, it's the other way around. Like, I'm Peter Griffin, and Lois is there. So shout out to Lois. Why are you looking sad? I'm calling you my hot wife. You know, what about you, Rivki? We'll move away from Lois.
Can I go with Sonia again?
Is she paying you? She's sponsoring this podcast.
She's sponsoring the podcast. She's not. She doesn't even know about this.
Natalie Cassidy, if you're out there, we love you.
Send us
Come
money.
And join us. No, it's really weird because thinking back, I watched Shallow Hal. I loved Friends.
Okay.
Fat Monica, like, those characters are so ingrained with how I grew up that I didn't see them as problematic until I was much older. And now looking back at it, I'm like, oh yeah, actually they did reinforce all those stereotypes and all those feelings that I had about myself. But then I suppose going into fashion, working in magazines and mainstream media, for me it's things like Ugly Betty and Devil Wears Prada, which still weirdly is my favourite film. I've watched
How many times have you watched it, Rivki?
Oh, hundreds. I've got it on DVD twice.
Hundreds.
It's just so funny.
Just in case one wears out.
We're going to have an actual podcast where she just, like, quotes it word for word. Like, we've decided she knows it that well.
But it's those, like, mad characters like Anne Hathaway in Devil Wears Prada. If you've not seen it, she's literally a size 8 and everyone else is a size 6. And they behave like she's huge and that how could she possibly work in fashion? But then working in fashion, it's just not like that. Mm-hmm. So I suppose I can watch it and maybe see the funny side of it and just think, like, oh God, this is so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But it might have put people off, right? Like, having a career in fashion, because they're like, well, I'm not going to fit in.
Exactly, when actually it couldn't be, you know, further from the truth. I've just started doing a plus size fashion column on ok.co.uk.
So that's taking over the world.
So that's that. But they came to, like, they suggested it. So it's not a case in mainstream media all the time now. Like, we've moved on so much.
Yeah, they're starting to see the value of, like, talking about these things and not assuming that we'll just be okay with whatever they throw us, really.
Exactly.
Who was, like, pinnacle for you guys in terms of, like, your representation? When did that happen for you, Hayley?
I mean, mine's a little bit complicated. Beth Ditto. Do we love Beth? Yeah. So Beth Ditto, for those who don't know, is the lead singer of a band called Gossip. She's queer, punk, as fuck, fat, awesome, amazing. She doesn't give a shit. She says what she wants. She's incredible. 10 years ago, I found it pretty scary because she was getting, like, partially undressed on stage and showing her body in all these things, like these stages of undress, and, like, not giving a fuck about the fact that she was fat and just owning it. And that was really intimidating for me because I was like, please don't show the secret of what's underneath my clothes.
Like, scales.
Like, this is, like, you know, this is not, like, it's a weird thing. But because she was so punk, she was, a lot of the time she was out to shock and be, and that's what rock and roll and punk music is about. It's about being shocking and it's about changing the status quo. But as a plus size woman, I was, like, made quite uncomfortable by it because I was like, I'm not ready for this. You should probably be ashamed of that. Cover that shit up. And it's amazing because then we fast forward 6 or 7 years later, she launches a clothing collection. And because of my blog, I get to go and interview her and spend an evening in a changing room just talking shit with her. She's so funny. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's so interesting. And she knew what she was doing. Like, she was disrupting. And that's an incredible thing. But it made me deeply uncomfortable until I was ready. And, like, we've talked about this. That's going on today still for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I completely concur. I remember the Rolling Stone cover, the Love Magazine cover.
Oh, the Love Magazine.
Ditto and her just being naked. And I remember thinking, oh, why are you doing the Love Magazine one? You've done the Rolling Stone one. We've seen it. Put it away.
We've had enough.
But now we've got people like Lizzo.
Hey!
Who is probably bringing those feelings forward for a whole new generation of women. But I think what we've all said that we love about Lizzo is that actually she's wearing exactly the same stuff as Rihanna and Beyonce. She's just doing it in a bigger body and she's owning it.
Yeah, and I think I see people being like, plus size women being like, well, I'm plus size and I never wear that. You know, shut up, Brenda. we don't care. Brenda? Oh,
my God. That was a risky move. Hey? Yeah. In the studio, it's fine. In a live, less so.
Brenda's only been to the studio once, so we're cool.
She's never coming back. Yeah, I mean, there was, after the Brits, she wore this like really structural brown bodysuit thing, and which was like pretty mega, you were saying, like a mega piece of engineering. All the headlines were like skimpy, like leotard. I was like, that's not fucking skimpy. If anybody else wore it, you wouldn't describe it as skimpy. That's more than like most pop stars wear on stage these days.
Yeah.
It's just skimpy because of how much of her there is. Mm. It's not like Beth, who was shaving off her eyebrows and like, you know, rolling around in her shapewear. She's just wearing what Britney was wearing 15 years ago. Like, you know, but yeah, she's changing. She's changing things.
A lot of us share Lizzo on our platforms. We've shared her on Fat Chat. We've shared her on the Twitter and things like that. We have a lot of people being like, this is amazing. I wish I'd had this when I was younger. I'm going to show my daughter Lizzo. And it's just amazing to know that the next generation will hopefully have that. And she is the norm. She is the Beth Ditto. But she's like, with social media, she's like bigger than Beth Ditto. Like, she's everywhere.
Beyonce. She's all Fat Beyonce. She's also like being kind of given an okay by popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that Beth, because she was punk, didn't really get. There was obviously massive pockets of people in fashion and Jean-Paul Gaultier and stuff that were like, oh my God, you're amazing. But Lizzo has kind of had that big gold star on her chart from everyone.
She's just being amazing. Yeah. Like, if you're shocked by it, that's more about you than what she's actually doing. So what about you? I've spoken about my hero.
So about 10 years ago, just before I started my blog, actually, I remember coming across, she was then Tess Munster. She is now Tess Holliday. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar. And because she was like plus red-haired, tattooed, I was like, yep, I can relate to her. And I just remember like being, wow, there's a woman out there. Just, she's so beautiful. And she's got this amazing like community. I was part of her like Facebook page. People were so kind about her. I think that kind of spurred me on to do all the things that I did before then starting my blog. Because I was like, she is accepted and people love this and people need this. How incredible is that? And she hasn't gone away. She's been on the cover of Cosmo. She's walked catwalks. She's doing all sorts of things, wasn't she? Even at the Brits or the Grammys or something recently as well. You know, she's
visibly plus as well, which like before, like people would be celebrating Sophie Dahl, and Sophie Dahl was gorgeous and of, you know, and of her time, but still you would, like, if she walked past you in the street, you wouldn't be like think that's a plus size person. So Tess is the first model that I can think of where you were like,
yeah, she really was the OG.
She's fat. She's fat. She's beautiful. She's incredible. She's fat.
Mm-hmm. I love that you guys have these massive A-listery type.
You guys are not ready.
I roll in with my trumpets, Sonia, and Alison Hammond.
Please, for those uninitiated with daytime television. She's putting the drink down for this.
I'm serious.
Who is Alison Hammond?
Right, the thing is, for me, it's people like Beth are great, and you've met Beth, and Lizzo is also amazing, as is Tess, and I've worked with Tess.
I was gonna say you've worked with Tess and shot her for Slink, which
is
incredible.
I worked with Tess right when she was kind of being signed to her model agency. But for me, it was when I was growing up, Alison Hammond was on Big Brother. She broke the table. That is basically what a lot of people remember about her. But she went on to greater and better things because she's excellent at her job. I do feel like I might be starting a fan club here. Anyone can join.
It's going to be like this Venn diagram of like Sonia and Alison Hammond. And there's like, in there will be like Rivki. Anybody else a fan of those two people? Because Riv's starting club. Sorry.
But the thing is, she is so relatable because she's daytime television. She's done exceptionally well from a platform where she didn't seem to fit in the beginning. And I feel, you know, she has gone on to interview massive A-listers and done roles that are traditionally done by very typically socially acceptable, attractive women.
Yeah, you're just supposed to be pretty if you're on the team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're supposed to be pretty, you know, can roll a lot. She is attractive, but, you know, rolling, like, coming along, you know.
Rolling along. Here comes Alison rolling along.
I actually meant just, like, you know, a presenter coming along, being super pretty and just there interviewing the hot celebrity. And there's Alison not giving a shit, just being so funny.
Does she, like, push a guy in the water once?
Yeah, she by mistake knocks someone off that map on IG.
Yes, and she sat on that old lady's lap during the Why Hello Jill. Like,
she's great.
I love Hello Jill.
Like, I like that we've got those television representations as well, not just these massive A-lists. It's just really bad.
We've killed a member of the audience.
We've lost the front row.
I'll come at you with a walk. Why hello, Amy.
You can keep your A-list as I'm sticking with dates on telly.
You can have, look, Alison's clearly a legend. A lot of people here like her too.
I'm going to shut this down here before, you know, we get sued. So if you are listening along at home or you guys here, please follow us on social media and be part of this conversation. Tell us how much you love Alison. Tell us about that time you fell off a table. At Fat Chat Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Obviously, every week we give you guys a who to follow, a WTF, and we shout out a brilliant account we think you should be following, because the only diet you have to be on is a social media diet. And this week we are shouting out our girl, Steph Yeboah. Steph started
lots of
off,
lots of nods. I like it.
Yeah, of course. Like, Steph's amazing. She started off at Nerd About Town, but she's now at Stephanie Yeboah. It's Stephanie with a PH.
And she was more photography than fashion and stuff.
Yeah,
now
she's in fashion, but she also talks a lot about representation in the media. She's not scared to like speak truth to power, which is an incredibly powerful and amazing thing. And she talks a lot about what representation should be, what it should look like, especially in plus size spaces, but just fashion generally. And we just felt for this week.
Yeah. Hasn't she just done the digital cover of Glamour as well?
Yeah, she has. It's amazing. Glamour's done some like real diverse covers. They did Scarred Not Scared as well.
Yeah, they've done quite a few.
Ullman.
Yeah.
Yeah, really amazing. So.
Yeah, and Steph obviously also represents women of colour. She's a darker skinned woman of colour, and she talks about that too. So her representation covers a lot of things. She's just awesome. Follow her on Twitter as well. Yeah. Constant lols.
Yeah. So give her a follow and let us know what you think.
So what have we got on with fashion this week, Rivki?
So seeing as the whole episode is about representation, we know that sometimes plus size brands are really good at representing their customers.
Sometimes not so much.
Sometimes they're shit. So we're not gonna harass the shit ones on this particular episode, but we are coming for you. But we are going to talk about the ones that we really want to big up, that we feel have actually made strides to try and represent who they're actually trying to sell clothes to. So the first one on the list today is Pretty Little Thing.
Yeah, amazing.
They launched into their plus size collection relatively quickly for a new-ish brand.
Yep.
But equally, they do make sure that when they do collaborations that it goes into plus. If you look at their social media, they'll put any woman that is wearing their clothes, not just
They haven't
straight
like
size.
Separated out. They don't have like Pretty Fat Thing account. Although
she's got a nice face account. Yeah, pretty for a fat girl account.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, like, which is unusual, right? Like, a lot of brands are like, okay, the fannies have to sit over here at their own.
Let's make sure no one else sees them. No more Alison jokes.
Oh, it's Alison, a safe we
space.
Love you.
So yeah, PLT, really, really good at just kind of not separating it out, pushing their plus size line. Also making clothes that fashion brands traditionally have not made for plus size women.
Oh,
so
totally.
Therefore giving more options if you want to go down those kind of very trend-led, slightly more Kardashian, fast fashion.
I have like a neon pink cropped fur snow leopard looking jacket from them.
Jesus.
Can you wear that to the next podcast, please?
That's a lot of words for butterfly tunic, Hayley.
I didn't know that I needed it until Pretty Little Thing made it for me, so thank you.
Next one up is Playful Promises. Woo. Hands up if you've ever shopped a little bit of Playful Promises. Yeah, a few fans.
George is always flogging them.
Yeah, you can't get to keep a clothes on these days.
About this.
So George has actually done a range with them. Little shout out for you.
Thank you.
But Playful Promises, really, really good, again, at doing campaigns that represent all their different customers, really good at sharing it on their social media as well, and also shutting down sort of trolls and things like that. So they're not going to stand for it. Like, they are here for representation, which we all really, really love. They've worked with Gabby Fresh as well, Felicity Haywards. They've done quite a lot of collaboration campaigns. Next, tights, which bane of every woman's life. Snag. I see a lot of nodding people in the audience. Yeah, good.
You were saying earlier, like, if you haven't heard of them, your phone will now give you an ad. It will serve you an ad. As you come out of this podcast, it's going to be like buy snack tights. Advertising is so hot.
They're really, really good at, again, having much more diverse campaigns, lots of different body shapes, but also making product that works on lots of different lots of different body shapes. So we love Snag. And last shout out is to a brand that originally when they started, Plus, was probably a bit shit at representing, but are now hot on it, ASOS.
Yeah.
Firstly, the clothes are great. Let's be honest, who is not friends with their DPD driver? George pretty much is.
I got a cookie once because I'd had that many deliveries.
What number was it?
Well, it was 100 then. I'm still waiting for the 500 one because it's definitely, I've definitely gone into the next levels of
they
the hundreds.
They give you cookies. I'm going to have a word with my DPD driver.
It was a good day.
But yeah, ASOS, again, when they started, the models were basically nowhere near the size of the clothes that they were flogging. But now they've got, you know, you see stretch marks, and they've just started, if you've not seen it, if you want to see the outfit that you're looking to buy on different size bodies, there's a new special little button when you shop that you can bring up a little window.
Like a mind blow.
Yeah, and you can like scroll through and then you can see what it might look like a bit more on a size that represents you, which is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those
That's
are my...
Snag tights.
Yeah. Buy me.
Shop now.
And if there's brands that you think are doing a really, really good job at representing their customers, and also brands that you think we need to shout at, let us know on social media.
We'll put those fuckers on blast. I know.
At Fat Chat Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that's fashion.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That was just for Rivki.
I want to take it back a little bit, George, and talk about those circles of shame. I want to talk about a bit more about I want to talk a bit more about what you were saying, like what were magazines doing wrong when you were growing up? Like let's take it back.
Let's unpack that.
Thank you, Jeremy Paxman. so yeah, I guess that representation was negative essentially, but you kind of, like Hayley was saying about Beth Ditto, you kind of loved but hate but loved to see it because you were like, okay, that's what's going on under my clothes as well. And I kind of want to mock these people, but I'm glad they've kind of humanized a trait I have. As a society, we kind of do like to like see those not good things about people. We do like kind of like to rag on people a bit, like it's not a cool trait. But those magazines, I think Rivki was saying earlier, they still sell really well. Those magazines with the circles of shame and the before and after, like people kind of love it. It kind of makes you feel better about your body in a really twisted way, doesn't it?
It's like this idea, especially among women, that you have to pull each other down to build yourself up.
Yeah,
which is really crazy. Some of the best role models that I have just in my everyday life are people who are positive about each other rather than being like, oh, so-and-so looks so shit in that.
Mm.
It's not a very nice trait, but that's what those magazines are.
Yeah,
they're telling us that that's the currency for making ourselves feel better about ourselves. It doesn't really work long
term. No, not at all. And we've seen it on social media with how people respond to stuff. It's still very in our society, which is kind of awful and something we speak about and try and change.
Yeah.
But when it comes to those circles of shame, hands up who here has stretch marks and or cellulite? All right, Robbie, I see you. But you know, for the people listening, pretty much everyone put their hands up. It's so normal, but it's seen as such a shameful thing. Like, it's
but also
so...
why is it even fucking column worthy? Why are we writing about this?
Yes.
Almost everyone in this room, and there's a varying range of shapes and sizes here, put their hands up.
Apart How from Hayley, who's like weird freak, has no cellulite. She'll get her legs out for you later.
George has checked.
Yeah. Oh, I've taken enough photos. Every body is so different.
It's like not a particular body means a certain thing. I literally have had people on social media shout at me for airbrushing out my cellulite that I don't have because they so believe that the bigger your body is, the more cellulite you have. And I'm like, I just don't have it. Lots of other horrible things. Let me show you an ingrown hair. But like, not fucking cellulite, bitch. Like, but you know, it's like this weird idea that we've just decided the bigger, no. Like,
cellulite doesn't discriminate.
No,
like that's
exactly.
The one thing that doesn't discriminate.
Equal opportunity only cellulite. Yeah. And the thing is Instagrammers, they started out as an antidote to this. So instead of that same polished content that you always saw in magazines where people were lit and had hair and makeup and photoshopped, it was people just standing in front of their mirror at home, taking a mirror selfie of the outfit they were wearing and talking a bit about plus size fashion or about any fashion. And that was an incredible antidote to those of us who grew up in magazine culture because we were like, wow, look at these people just living in their, just being regular. They're regular just like me. But what's happened is the more it's professionalized, the further away from that it gets. So that it's now professional photographers are taking pictures of people that are then being face-tuned, that have probably had professional hair and makeup, and all that, and that's for content, which is supposedly just an outfit of the day snap. And so it becomes further and, it becomes more and more like magazines, mm-hmm. and your industry gets wrapped over the knuckles.
And weirdly,
that's what Instagrammers are doing.
And weirdly, I think magazines have become more and more open about the fact, you know, we'll do videos of behind the scenes, so you'll see that someone's been in the chair for like an hour and a half for like hair and makeup. My friends, I remember when I started as a stylist, my friends were like, how can you hang out with models? And I was like, dude, I saw them when they turned up. I was like, it's...
She arrived with bad breath and a hangover.
It takes a village to make a fashion shoot. It's not, do you know what I mean? So it's, I feel it's almost flipped where Instagram's become more professional and people are trying to hide the fact of a lot of work that goes into the photographs, mm-hmm. whereas magazines have, as an antidote to Instagram, have had to become more open, which is also awesome because that means that people are more literate in understanding that it is about an aspirational image at the end and there's lots of stuff that goes into it. But kind of backing onto that Instagram generation, my big pet hate, you two have had your rant, now it's mine, Love Island.
Yes, go in, Rivki.
Fucking Love pile Island. Of steaming
Everyone
shit.
Knows what Love Island is.
What? For those who don't,
for those that don't,
international listeners, you lucky, lucky fuckers.
For those that don't, or like I feel there must be international versions of this shit now. Yeah. They basically take so a bunch much. Of people, they're really there to win the money, but everyone pretends they're there to find love. But they've gone out and they've, I mean, I would also find love for like, what is it? Like
50 grand. Well, 25 grand
oh,
each.
Oh, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't. That's not, I thought it was more money.
Oh. Rivki's got a price.
But
they have their hair and makeup done professionally every day. Like,
yeah, and they've got clothes and it's like, it's basically like a televised version of Facetune where everyone looks
Love Island sponsored by Facetune.
Basically, it's such scripted reality that it almost feels like it's breaking the law to call it reality. Mm-hmm. And it's basically this really visual version of Instagram now where everyone looks the same. And it was a great opportunity to maybe throw a little diversity in there to be like, hey, lots of people fall in love, not just the people that look like people that sell charcoal toothpaste.
At this point, yeah, detox tea.
Okay, fuck I'm over you. It now. I'm okay.
But like, also at this point, let's just say, if you're watching Love Island, turn over, go and find First Dates. That's where it's at.
Oh,
like,
I love
that's what
first
we.
Dates.
That's the sort of television we want to see.
That is good TV.
Some of us are quite alert on what this is and what's going on and how people have highlight reels, and not just Instagrammers, pretty much, I'm sure everyone here who has a social media, you have been guilty of only putting the good stuff on, or the really, really bad sometimes, you know, how people want the sympathy. I do that. And I think we are quite savvy maybe to understanding that there might have been Facetune and Photoshop and what goes into a shoot. I'm wearing heels. I can't even walk. I can't even stand in half the heels I wear on shoots.
Yeah, she can't. We saw her in heels and she can't move. You have to carry her.
It's a joke. I had to make
She makes me carry shit back and forth on every fucking shoot we do because she's like Bambi on ice.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And like, if you were to look at my photos, you might be like, how is she able to walk in heels that
she
high?
Can't.
Like,
she can't. She can't.
Like, I can't stand in them. And I feel like we see that behind the scenes, but not everyone has that. I still have people, even when I've declared that I've posted a photo that's been retouched, going, but how do you get your legs that smooth?
I skinned Hayley's legs and I'm wearing them
as
tights.
Oh, not a bad idea. Snag tights, watch out. I got a new idea. But you know, like, I still feel that not everyone is realizing that, and that's kind of sad. I still feel like more of a statement needs to be made. More people need to declare, like, sure, if you want to use Facetune, use it, but you need to declare when these things are done. You need to declare when things are photoshopped. You need to post more of the real things. That rounds out a person and makes people feel less shit about themselves.
And it's also about the audience to also, you know, realize when they're just constantly clicking the things that look like perfection, because mm-hmm. it's on the audience too, on all of us as consumers. Mm-hmm. If you don't like something because someone is a bit messy or there's hair out of place or they're looking a little bit oily, you're just...
You're not going to like any of our photos.
From tonight. but, you know, you're just adding to that. So it's also about being a smart consumer and realizing that a lot of the time what you're seeing is a highlight reel. And it might not even be because your influencer is being disingenuous. It might be because they're contractually obliged to post some content right now and they can't tell you that they've had a really shit day because they're supposed to be being happy about some fucking shit they were gifted.
I just want to say, this is something unscripted, sorry, that I just saw on Instagram yesterday. So she won Love Island, I'm sorry, but she won Love Island last year. She's called Amber Rose Gill. And she posted a little IGTV, sorry guys, it gets better, that was like a day in the life of an influencer. Say again.
I'll rugby tackle you in a minute.
I'm into it. It was like a day in the life of an influencer. And she basically starts the day not looking happy. And then an alert goes off. She has to take a selfie. So she takes a selfie and like face tunes it. And then like she's on a shoot and she's on the phone. And someone's saying how awful she was on the shoot. And they're selling the story to the tabloids. But actually she was just talking to a friend who wanted to talk to her. And it just shows what goes into that glossy lifestyle. I would recommend watching it. Wherever you think of Love Island, it is very good.
No.
Well, moving swiftly
this
on.
This is not a democracy. In case anyone was under any
Joe,
illusion.
Don't cut that from the podcast. Producer Joe, please don't. The three of us, and I'm going to start with myself, sorry, because that's on my notes. The three of us, we started our various platforms, our blogs, our social medias, our magazines, born out of a desire to be the representation we weren't seeing. And for me, like when I started my blog, I'd just done a competition with a lingerie brand where it was to become their model. And I came third, I didn't win. But the comments that I got, the feedback that I got was so positive, with people saying, we wanted to see a body like yours, a bigger body, bigger busted, because it shows how the bras fit and things like that. And I sort of thought, I can be that representation that people want from me. Not winning this isn't the end, because the reason that I wanted that competition, like after finding Tess and after finding all these other things, like it was like, it went on from that. I was like, I can be like Tess, not quite like Tess, but you know.
Still fill a pretty substantial hole in the market.
Can fill many substantial holes. Wow.
Another bit we have to cut, Joe.
But anyway, going back to my story. No, but yeah, for me, that was the aim of starting my blog. I was so keen 9 years ago, not blowing my own trumpet like Sonia over here, but I was so keen to be the representation I wasn't seeing. And like now for me, my platform, I still try and do what I was doing then. I still try and show like every aspect of my life. There's working out things, there's stories, there's glossy photo shoots, there's all of that. And I also try and use...
But you walked a podcast on the other day. Oh,
we're so sorry about that. We tried to get her to not take a
but
photo.
That was...
To not put that on the gram.
That was
no
real.
To see that.
That was a representation of me in a very ugly outfit that kind of looked like I just got out of prison. But it was so comfy.
Or bed.
For the bed.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I try and use my social platforms, like my stories on Instagram and my Twitter, to also shout out other people that I feel need representing. And that's what I want to see more of. And that's also what I think you guys do. I got there eventually, guys. But yeah, what Rivki, also, what about you with Slink magazine? Like, tell us about that, which you guys are all going to copy up.
Yeah, so the slinks are on your chair there for you to take home. Obviously, that would be really weird if I collected
them. And also, they're
Where's
so heavy.
So I started Slink about 10 years ago, which is
crazy,
terrifying. I don't know where the last 10 years of my life has gone.
Fucking bottle, mate.
Yeah, that is kind of true. So Slink, when I started Slink, I was working in a plus size store, and I was super into fashion. I was always into fashion. I studied fashion design at university, and I remember talking to customers in the store and being like, oh, this jacket's really like one that I saw last season at Marc Jacobs. It's so great. And suddenly realizing that no one else cared, because no one else was reading Vogue or Harper's, because there was nothing in there that you could shop. And so the penny dropped, and I was like, there's a gap in the market here for, like, I was already shooting, but it never even occurred to me to look for plus size models. I didn't know anything about the industry. So I was really lucky, pulled a few friends in, and everyone was like, oh yeah, this is a cool idea, let's do this. But there was so little in terms of representation for plus size models doing editorial. They were always mother of the bride, or they did really like, I'm fad and I'm happy and I'm wearing a butterfly tunic.
I'm jolly.
So it was a whole learning curve. I feel I got to learn with so many other people, with models, with brands who didn't want to lend clothes for the first shoot because they were like, who is this crazy small curly haired person that wants to shoot like high end editorial on plus size models? Fast forward, and every motherfucker is doing it.
I did it first, okay.
I'm like, I was there first, bitches. But it's, you know, it's so great to see how much that representation has changed in terms of models and catwalks and this and clothes and brands. And there's still such a long way to go, but I think it's always really important to recognise how far we've come.
Like where you've come from.
Yeah.
And there are people in this room who got like an edition of Slink when we were all together like about 18 months ago, I think. And I remember like this moment we were all sitting around like we were eating, shocker. And they were like looking through the magazine and they were just like, oh my God, I just didn't realize this existed. Women who kind of look like me and super editorial, fashion-y stuff. I love this stuff, but it never looked like something I could do. And that's a huge thing because you've given that to a lot of people. So snaps for Rivki.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks,
you can play nice sometimes. I mean, for me, I think it was very much about when I started following other plus size bloggers and stuff, I just felt that I was getting more and more into it. I've said this a lot of times, I think, on the podcast, but that I wanted to be part of that catalogue of images or that content that was being created and start to represent women who looked a bit more like me. Because while I was seeing more plus representation, that were always kind of the same sort of shape, they frequently stopped as a certain size. And I was like, it means so much when I see people who look like me to like just work through some of my body demons and what I think I look like and how I understand my own body, that if I can do that for someone else by making those images, that really, you know, really, really helps. So, and then as you're saying, like as we go further, it's about uplifting more marginalized bodies. So other people where you realize that there's just like not enough representation, there's not enough of that being seen in the media, and just being able to sort of add to that catalog is...
Yeah, there's room for everyone.
Like, believe it or not.
Thank God. So where do you think we are now in terms of representation? Looking back over your teen years and things, like how do you think the industry and media is looking now?
I mean, look, we lost Sonia, but Alison is still in her job. We've got to appreciate. No, I mean...
Don't give her any more laughs about this shit. I've been dreading this episode, hearing about Sonia all the time.
Do you know what? Like I said earlier, we have come so far. There is so much more representation. I feel like plus size really has a voice, and that a lot of that has come through social media.
Yeah.
But looking at things like Facetune and that kind of Love Island generation, as it were, I'm so glad I'm not growing up now. And I think bad as I thought I had it then, I genuinely worry for sort of like 11, 12 year olds now, mm-hmm. growing up with all this kind of, it's like that new age of perfection. So as much as you've got these louder voices in terms of Lizzo and that kind of side and plus size brands and more plus size models, we've still got so far to come, because I think every time you think you're winning, something like Facetune comes along and makes you think like, oh fuck, we're not there mm-hmm. yet.
I mean, they'll never know the blue mascara years, am I right? Like,
make
they can
everything comes back round.
Yeah, that's
we'll
true.
Make it happen. We'll make it happen.
And I definitely think more brands are thinking about diversity. Like, as much as social media can be a bit shit, one of the really good things about it is that brands are not just adverts in shops, adverts in magazines, they're also on social media. And for some, that's even more relatable than any of the adverts. And brands have the opportunity to represent their customers and bloggers and influencers that post what they're wearing. And I just think that's so important. There's a lot more that a lot of brands can be doing. That, as we said, is a whole other episode. But it's just so amazing that more and more bodies are getting out there. Unfortunately, there is still that critique, but the more we normalise it, hopefully the quieter those voices will become.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's not just about like visual representations or fashion. Obviously, that's something that we all talk about quite a lot. But to me, it's just the idea that there'll be more diverse creators, writers, actors. It's people making different content so that you can have all these different ideas of who you can be. Because if we take it back to like, you've got to see it to be it, you need to see more different versions, so that a plus size character in a film is not always portrayed in this one way. And there are those voices. I mean, we've seen a lot of them in like the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Some incredible, incredible plus size writers coming through mm-hmm. and writing stories that are relatable.
Yeah, who's seen Dumpling? If you've not, you need to see it.
Compulsory viewing.
It's the best. And do you know what? I love that. So Danielle McDonald, who plays her, I love.
What a great surname for a fat girl. Yes.
Oh, the fat jokes are so thick and fast today. We're so sorry.
I'm thick. I'm not fast. I got more.
She's definitely thick.
Dumpling's great because she is such a good representation of the sense that she gets the hot guy, but because of all you feel through her character that she's had those years of misrepresentation when she was growing up, that she thinks like, wait, why does he like me? What the fuck is going on here? And she's such a relatable character. I cried so much in that film. It's such a good film. If you've not seen it, you have to see it.
There are drag queens in it as well, so I'm just
it
saying.
It ticks every box.
It's fucking great.
One of my favourite things all happening together. And Shrill, obviously. Yep. Shrill's amazing. I mean, her boyfriend sucks, but like, other than that, it's such an incredible show. And again, it's something written by a plus-size writer featuring plus-size women telling stories that are different to the ones that were made when they were possibly written by slim people. Mm-hmm. So,
sure, yeah. It's on BBC iPlayer. So good.
And obviously we've got actresses like sort of Gabby Sidibe and Chrissy Metz, Rebel Wilson, like taking on big roles, proper like leading roles in shows where they are the protagonist in them and not just a side character that has like some, you know, sad, awkward, humorous interlude. Rebel Wilson's funny as fuck, but she's also the main character a lot of the time, which is amazing.
We've talked about her already. We can not talk about her enough, but people like Lizzo are also challenging that stereotype. The amount of people that have I just got my DNA test, I'm 100% that bitch, as their caption. Everyone relates to it. Slim people want her, the fat people want her. There's enough Lizzo to go around. It's just awesome that that's becoming more normalised. Obviously, it's not without the backlash of the usual kind of troll, like uneducated comments, but it's just amazing that it's just like, yeah, she's a pop star. And what? She's Lizzo, which is fucking great. Our self-care tip this week is be the representation you want to see, which is something that we've obviously lived by and it's been pretty good so far. We are going to be trying to get a hashtag going.
Yeah, so yes. Hashtag I am representing. And we just want to see people making the content that they don't see enough of. So posting pictures with that, because this is a huge thing. Like, even though Instagram has been infiltrated by all these people making everything look perfect, you can still search those hashtags and still find just everyday people just posting what they wear or what they love or, you know, all those things. And we would just love to see some of that be created by our very own community.
The best thing about hashtags on Instagram is you can actually follow the hashtag for people who don't know that, which is always amazing because I follow a lot of hashtags and suddenly in my timeline I'm like, yes, I don't follow you. Who are you? So just top tip.
And yeah, obviously we want you to add to the catalogue of content and we would love to get it trending because then we can talk about it more and really start a bigger conversation about representation. So yeah, hashtag I am representing, share it on social media, tag us in it so that we can share it as well. And yeah, let's make some better imagery that represents people better.
That's it for the podcast, but we do have a special extra bonus podcast for people listening. We are going to be, once we've closed this podcast down, doing a Q&A with our lovely people. Give us a cheer. Yay! I feel so powerful. We'll be doing that. And so there's going to be two podcasts this week, which is going to be awesome.
Which is what you've been asking for.
This has been a secret recordings podcast. We have new episodes every Tuesday and you can find us on social media at Fat Chat Pod. Don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you're listening on Apple, please give us 5 stars and leave us a review.
See you next Tuesday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.